service is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III. On this day where, by God's divine providence, one has earned a new title, hard fought, diligently pursued, it is by God's grace that we have She Who Shall Never Be President, the remix. I know I shouldn't have done that. She Who Shall Never Be President, part deux. Man, oh man, oh man, I have so much that I want to say. Yesterday, many of you who tuned into the program, you heard me say that I was excited that I believed God had positioned us in our nation for the next stage of American history. And it is evident that that has transpired. My name is Abraham Hamilton III. I'm the host of the Hamilton Corner right here in American Family Radio. Thank you to every single one of you who are tuning into the program, everyone in every way that you are tuning in, the live radio audience, the podcast listeners, the television show viewers, the live video stream viewers, the audio streamers. Thank you to every single one of you. This also is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am joined by the corner contingent right across from me today is your friendly neighborhood woodaholic, Mr. Marty Sparks, lighting up the dark from in studio. We have producer extraordinaire, often imitated, the real J Mac, never duplicated, and that's a fact. He got a fresh haircut and a lining that's back. He thought I ain't see him, but I see it, Jack. And I am grateful. I'm going to share with you my honest, immediate reaction. My wife can tell you this. My children were up with me. It was a reminder that I'm not as young as I used to be because I ain't used to staying up this late. My wife was like, "You going to stay up?" I say, "I ain't going to sleep. I'm staying up." At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time job where you generate an income to your full-time job where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to encourage you to do so with intentionality. Understanding the primacy that God places on family, understanding that among the things that we can do, there is one thing that Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to do, and that is make disciples. That's his command. My immediate reaction to the events that transpired last night, first of all, us being able to know on election night going into the morning where we're headed, the future trajectory of our nation, it's a part of God's sovereignty. My immediate reaction is that, God, you are merciful. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. God, you are merciful. We're gonna begin the program today in Psalm chapter 86, verse 15, which simply says that, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth." I'm going to read it again. "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth." Guys, what transpired yesterday is evidence of God's mercy on our nation. It is evidence that God is not finished with our nation yet. And I'm saying that God is merciful because his mercy has afforded his people and our nation more time and space to obey him. The specter of what we faced yesterday was no different than what we faced in 2016. But the unfortunate reality is that many, including many professing believers, misinterpreted God's mercy then. Many spent so much time in celebration laps and even deifying a vessel that we misunderstood the grace that God afforded us. And so then the Lord exposed us to the beginning of what could be. And make no mistake about it, it was just a glimpse of what could be. With the third Obama term, let me call it what it is, the continued fundamental transformation of the United States of America into something that she is not, the potential for people to be locked up because of believing what the Bible says, the efforts to mutilate children irreversibly, to chemically castrate them and to normalize that, the forced confiscation of your neighbor's resource. God gave us a glimpse of what it could be. And by his grace and by his mercy, I have no doubt that many were praying, as I was praying, you were praying. God has bestowed his mercy on our nation, but we must not make the mistake of misinterpreting that mercy. We shouldn't misconstrue that mercy. And this is why I caution people. And I understand some people want to celebrate and things of that nature. And I know I could come off as like a Debbie Downer to someone. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but I want to be candid and honest with what I see. God has given us grace and space. And so the resolve that we must have is what I had been saying prior to Election Day is, what is the plan and vision that you have for November 6th? Because I tweeted two things out last night. God is abundant in mercy. And I also tweeted, and now is the time to get to work. We have work to do. John Adams told us that this constitutional republic with democratic features that we have enjoyed, the most unique nation in the history of the world that we have inherited. We weren't the founders who fought to be liberated from England, but we have inherited this. You've heard the old adage that tough times make strong men make easy times make weak men. You've heard that adage, that cyclical adage. You've heard Benjamin Franklin's refrain, "Oh, Benjamin, what have you wrought? A republic if you can keep it." There have been concerted efforts to wrest that away. And much of it has transpired on the watch of the Lord's bride in our nation. Because we have allowed the freedom and the context that we enjoy to be misconstrued to where it is viewed as the objective as opposed to a mechanism. I am overwhelmed in gratitude for the mercy that God has bestowed upon our nation. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Now, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? We've had a glimpse of how quickly and how far things can go. What are we going to do with it? I would cajole every synonym you can imagine, pull out a thesaurus and look through it, that we have to wake up, and not just wake up, but get up. If your eyes are opened, it's not because you're just so great. If you can see, it's because God has allowed you to see. Not merely for you to say, "Oh man, I can't understand why some people don't recognize it's not a good idea to mutilate children." No. So that we can respond accordingly. I shared yesterday with you the scripture from Haggai. After the Jews were allowed back to Jerusalem in 538 BC, there was a stalling of the reconstruction of the temple. almost two decades worth. And the Lord sent Haggai and others, Zechariah and others, say, listen, fear not, for I am in your midst, but get to work. Get to work. We have a lot of work to do. We have allowed the secular regressives to infiltrate every system and institution of our society. We have allowed a system of instruction with almost no objection that denies the knowledge of the Lord. We have allowed an anti-Christ discipleship program to take root in our nation. And it's incumbent upon the Lord's remnant to say, you know what? I will not go silently into the light, into the night. I must be about my Father's business. Let us thank the Lord for his mercy. And that gratitude for his mercy should not be limited to just verbalized expression. We also express our thanks with what we do. With what we do. There are a lot of things that are happening. There are many that can misconstrue what transpired yesterday as if the country is given license to the advancement of a somewhat godless notion of a conservatism. You've heard me make the case before. There's no such thing as constitutionality and what is popularly described as conservatism without an undergirding with biblical morality. The entire idea of private property is derived from people being made in the image of God. We shouldn't just sit back and cede ground on this. We need to engage in the intellectual dialogue and the appealing to the hearts and minds of our neighbors. Stop allowing these regressives to intimidate us and scare us into our silos to where we won't speak what we really know to be true out in public. God used our civic processes to offer a broadside repudiation to the spirit of the age in our nation yesterday. But make no mistake about it. It is exactly what I've described. It is a reprieve. It is a reprieve. You understand what I'm saying to you? It is God saying, this is what it could be. And this is where you could be headed. You sure you want to go that way? The scriptures reveal God. Aspects of his character I just read. For you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious. Not only that, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. The reprieve has been granted to give space and grace primarily for the people of God to say we'll no longer be casualties of the darkness that's so prevalent. We will no longer be passive spectators as to what transpires, but we will actively engage. Many of you have heard me say on a number of times, on a number of programs, we must live locally. Prior to yesterday's events, the spirit of the age and their exponents, and I'm going to show you some of that today, they thought and expected that they would continue to run roughshod over the American people. The Lord revealed that there are many that are saying, wait. That's too far. But notice I said that's too far. Scripture says God deposited his bride to be the pillar and ground of truth. We should be a people who provide a conscience for our nation and the ones in our nation that should advocate for the necessity of repentance. Remember the instruction from Deuteronomy 17. The king was instructed to handwrite his own copy of the book of the law, but in the presence of the Levitical priests. And this was an announcement made not just to the king or to the Levites, but the whole nation was made aware that this is what God required. Yet there was a drift that transpired. My question today is just as it was yesterday. What is your vision? What is my vision for November 6th? Because God has given us a reprieve to enter into the next stage of American history.
Let's think about what God has done. I would wager that his top news story is still that the free salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is available to all. I wager that will be the top news story until that salvation is no longer available. You will have made your decision for eternity. He doesn't ask us to do anything he won't. And then he does above what we can possibly do.
Hear Todd Herman on A Disciple's View, weekdays 12 p.m. Central on AFR.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. If you went to sleep early or if you have not heard the announcement yet, the election results reveal that Donald John Trump, the 45th president of the United States, will also be the 47th president of the United States. There are still two states in particular that are counting votes as it pertains, well, three states are still counting votes, but as it pertains to the determination of the electoral vote participation, those states are Nevada and Arizona, but President Trump is up in those states. It's very possible that he ends up with anywhere between 307 to 312 electoral college votes, which in recent elections is an electoral college blowout. Not only that, not to cue one of the old movies, but this day one, this the hand they fan with. Not only that, last count before I came in studio, President Trump has accumulated 72,200,000 popular votes versus 66 million popular votes from Kamala Harris. In fact, let me give you the exact number. Kamala Harris's number is 67,251,424 popular votes. So that is a 5 million vote margin, over 5 million vote margin in the popular vote, making President Trump the first Republican candidate for the presidency that has won the popular vote within the last two decades. Not only that, the conventionally described blue wall, it seems that all of those states, no, seems it has been called, all of those states have gone to President Trump as well. In addition to that, Republicans have flipped the United States Senate to where the United States Senate tally, as I am talking to you right now, the Republicans have a 52-45 majority in the United States Senate, and there are still three races where the Senate races have not yet been called. Those states are Arizona, where Kerry Lake is going against Ruben Gallego. Kerry Lake is down in Arizona. It seems that Republicans may lose that seat. But in Nevada, Sam Brown is up on the Democrat candidate Rosen. And in Pennsylvania, Senate challenger McCormick is up on the incumbent Bob Casey. If the Republican win the Senate seat in Pennsylvania and Nevada, that would increase their majority to 54 seats in the U.S. Senate. The vote totals indicate, as it stands currently, the Republicans maintain a majority in the House of Representatives. That determination actually will take a while to conclude because the state of California, by state law, allows its votes to be collected for an additional week after Election Day. So many of the congressional races will not be determined until next Tuesday in the state of California. However, that will not affect the Electoral College composition. Just before coming into the studio, Kamala Harris gave her concession speech. It was interesting that she did not give a speech last night. She had all the people gather for her party at Howard University in Washington, D.C. And then she said, hey, y'all go home. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. And she's conceded the election. And it's so funny. I see all of these people trying to say, and unlike President Trump, we concede elections. I was like, have y'all talked to she or she'll never be president? The original? Because y'all know it's part two. You got two of them now. So it's not one, it's two. You know, she or she'll never be president remix. I have to abbreviate that. She the remix, you know. But anyway, leaving that aside, as I stated in the first segment, God's mercy was shown to our nation yesterday. And frankly, I don't care who you are, what you think about it, if you disagree with what I'm saying. You know, it's sad to see how our society has been so balkanized and with literally reeling from the Marxist playbook to balkanize our society, to have us biting at one another because of these demographic distinctions that they try to make the nation comprised of. And you come to find out, you know, you could be Hispanic, you can be more melanated like me, you can be less melanated, and we all tend to have to buy groceries. You know, we all have babies, and we won't want the government chopping our children's body parts off. You know, we all appreciate free speech. It's amazing to me that folks don't understand a lot of the Hispanics who migrate to our country. What's the reason why they're coming? It's an economic migration. Yet you're shocked when folks get here and they're like, hey, I don't want you taxing me too much either. It's crazy. And then, you know, because I love y'all, I do it for the people. So I watch all of the different coverage, and I'm watching MSNBC and CNN, and I'm watching Fox. I'm watching all of it, and a lot of people and MSNBC and Fox, they're like, oh, we don't understand. We can't believe it. The exit polls show the top issue for many voters was the preservation of democracy. You know, like they, you know, try to, the preservation of democracy. And then it was the economy. And their conclusion was, well, surely if you care about democracy, you would vote against, you know, President Donald Trump. I'm like, y'all are so ignorant. You don't realize that the person that y'all put up wasn't even democratically nominated to be the Democrat nominee? Like, don't you realize that? Don't you realize that people can walk and chew gum at the same time and their concerns for democracy would result in them not wanting She Who Shall Never Be the remix? They don't understand. It's not that they don't understand. They don't want to understand. But not to be outdone, you know, in the face of a presidential electoral college landslide, a national popular vote win, a U.S. Senate flip to Republican leadership, House of Representatives seeming majority maintained. Yet, many of these regressives want to stick to, it must be that because these folks are racist and they're sexist and they're homophobic and they're transphobic and they're stupid. Still, that's what they're going to roll with. Y'all don't have to take my word for it. Y'all know I come true with the recipes. I want to show you. Let's just come right off the top rope. So Joe Scarborough was talking to Al Sharpton, and they can't figure. Because it can't be that we have people in America that actually pay attention to what's going on and listen to what is said and what is not said. It can't be that you have a person who goes on The View and says and is asked a question, what would you do differently from Joe Biden? And your answer is, nothing comes to mind. Nothing comes to mind. It couldn't be that people of all stripes in America found that a little bit problematic. No, of course not. According to husband of Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough, and the Reverend Al Sharpton, the problem is, see, this is what y'all don't understand, people. Y'all don't understand that black folks and Latinos, they just nothing but a bunch of racist and sexist and misogynist. I'm not kidding, Marty. You should see Marty's face. He's like, is that what they said, Abe? Marty, I'm going to play it just for you. Listen to and watch clip number 3. Go.
I just say, Rev, really quickly, yeah. Too. Democrats need to be mature and they need to be honest and they need to say, yes, there's misogyny, but it's not just misogyny from white men. Mm-hmm. It's misogyny from Hispanic men.
Right.
It's misogyny from black men. Things we've all been talking about who do not want a woman leading them. Might be race issues with Hispanics. They don't want a black woman. As President of the United States, you know, the Democratic Party, I've always found when you're sitting around talking, they love to just sort of balkanize everybody into these separate groups and say, oh, white people don't like women and black people. No, it is time for the Democrats to say, OK, and you and I have talked about this before. A lot of Hispanic voters have problems with black candidates.
Right.
A lot of
with other Hispanics. You got some that don't like each other. And some of the most misogynist things I've heard going on this Get Out the Vote tour came from black men. I mean, misogynist things. So you're absolutely right. It's not simplistic. And we've got to have real honest conversations about it.
Real honest conversations.
And then you see, and then between each other, they don't like each other. Because see, the problem, Joe, is, you know, I can't imagine that America won't vote for Comic-Con. Hey, I can't imagine they won't vote for Comic-Con. So everybody misogynist, Joe, not just white men. The black men misogynist, the white men misogynist, the Hispanic, they hate each other, Joe. They hate each other. One want arroz con pollo. The other one want beefsteak. They don't know what they want, Joe. We can't imagine, can't figure what's going on here, Joe. Guys, this is insane. This is insane. You know, because somebody asked me, they asked me really seriously, too. Hey, do you think this will cause a bit of sober reflection on the part of the Democrat Party? I said, you know, I know there are people who may be reflective, but not amongst the party bosses, and certainly not against the American Pravda. That's one of the biggest losers in this. These people have no longer hold sway over the American people. You see, everything they tried against President Trump from the beginning of his run the first time. Spied on him as a candidate. Made up Russian collusion when they knew it was a lie from the beginning. Spent $50, $60 million of American taxpayer dollars. This is one of the most investigated men in world history. Using the American intelligence apparatus to spy on him. Knew Biden was corrupt in Ukraine, but flipped that to impeach him. When Biden later admitted that I've told the prosecutor that he has to change change prosecutors, or they're not getting $1 billion. All of this, remember all of this? Nonstop. The lawfare, the trumped up charges, literally. The lies and everything that threw at him, none of it worked. And they don't have any other bullets left in their proverbial rhetorical guns. So they go back to Reverend Al. And you see, because everybody is misogynist and racist. Everybody. Even the Latinos hate each other. They don't like each other. You know, Joe, I'm looking at you and I don't like you. We're on the same network and I don't think your work is with a net. Wasn't just Al. I'm telling guys, unhinged. Andrea Mitchell jumped in on it. The problem, it wasn't because that Kamala Harris was a horrible candidate. That's not the problem. No, the problem is it's misogyny. That you see, that's the problem. Listen to Andrea Mitchell lying on TV. Clip number 4. Go.
Let's talk about gender writ broadly, though. There certainly has historically been, and is there against her case for election, which will rely heavily on women and the fact that there are more women voters in the United States than men, is that running into headwinds because there are a lot of men who just simply, black and white, men who just simply don't trust a woman to be, you know, chief executive, commander in chief. They just don't want to vote for a woman.
Again, this is hilarious to me. They just don't want to vote for a woman. Now, she said at the beginning of the clip, if you heard her, the American electorate is comprised of more women than men. So, Marty Jeff, was it only men who voted for President Trump? Guys, this is, and I'm sharing this with you because I want you to show just how demented these people are, how dug in these people are. So when I answered the question, is there going to be any reflection? No, these people are not going to reflect. This is crazy. They have no capacity to understand things like what I'm about to show you next. At one point in CNN's broadcast, Jake Tapper came through talking to John King. Hey, John. Well, John, is there any place on the map, John, where Kamala Harris has outperformed Joe Biden in 2020? Is there any place? John King says, let's see, Jake. Listen to and watch clip number 2. Get ready for this one. Go.
So you asked, are there any places that the vice president is overperforming Joe Biden in 2020? So we could show you that as well. We just bring that out here. Harris overperforming in 2020.
Holy smokes.
There you go. So let this go away and see if there's anything in the east side there.
Literally nothing?
Literally nothing.
Literally not one county?
Y'all heard Jake? Jake Tapper said, holy smokes. Jake said, holy smokes, John. What? Literally nothing? Boy, I'm something. Live TV is something, boy. Is there anywhere where he outperformed, where she outperformed 2020? Let's see, Jake. Let's see. There you go. Holy smokes, literally nothing. Oh boy, that is terrible. And like, but yet, from sea to shining sea, no outperformance of 2020. Yet they go to the tried old tired tropes: racism, misogyny. This is all they know. This is all they know. I'll give you one more before we hit the break. Because you already heard it was black men was the problem, and white men, and Latino men. But guess what? Joyless Reid said, no, it's white women that were the problem. Listen to and watch clip number 5. Go.
About this on this set numerous times is that you have a state where you've got a 6-week abortion or a 12-week abortion. I think theirs might be 12 weeks.
Yep.
But it's a state where women lost their reproductive rights, where there was a very heavy push to get women to focus on not putting in place, re-electing, putting back into the White House the person who was responsible for taking those rights away and restoring them. But that message obviously was not enough to get enough white women to vote for Vice President Harris, a fellow woman. This will be the second opportunity that white women in this country have to change the way that they interact with the patriarchy. And, you know, God bless Shannon Watts, who's tried to have that conversation. But if people aren't receptive to it, and if people vote more, party line or more on race than on gender and on protecting their gender, there's really not much more that you can do but tell people what the risks are and leave it to them to do the right thing.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and 1-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. And listen, I'm sharing that with you also so you can see that there is still much work to be done. You've heard me say before, what do you do when we're in a post-truth environment? That there is a chasm that is created between reality and what is true. And what that chasm is created by one's vision of the world and what reality is. And so what we are to do is to drive truth into that chasm. And what we saw yesterday was the nation repudiating the regressive vision for our nation. It was largely a cultural repudiation. But there was work to be done. While I am glorifying God for his mercy that he's shown to our nation, there are other things that we need to also consider. As I've shared with you before, there were 10 states that had ballot measures to determine whether or not they would amend their state constitutions to enshrine a right to unfettered baby murder in their constitutions. 7 of those 10 passed. Only 3 of the 10 failed. I want to start with what happened in Florida. The baby murder constitutional amendment measure in Florida failed. Thankfully, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis took the lead himself personally in opposing the measure. Did town halls all around the state, campaigned all around the state. And I hope and pray that for Republican politicians, they recognize that they shouldn't run and hide from this issue. When you lead in truth, you win. But what's happened is we've had too many people that are not statesmen, they're mere politicians. Because a statesman stands ground in truth and invites others to follow him in the direction of truth. Politicians wet the finger, put it in the air to see which way the wind is blowing. And whichever way the winds are blowing, then that politician runs to get in front of the line in the direction where the wind is blowing. We need to understand that contending for truth doesn't have to be politically expedient, but you appeal to the hearts and minds of people. But I want to be clear about something. One of the other things that we need to also be wise, because knowing that these ballot measures were coming, Governor Ron DeSantis led an initiative to change the threshold in this state to get the Floridians to vote in favor of raising the threshold necessary to amend their state constitution from a mere simple majority, where 50% plus one, to a 60% majority. The measure failed in Florida, but make no mistake about it, 57% of the voters in Florida voted for the baby murder amendment. I want to explain some of those details for you here. So in the state of Florida, those who voted in favor of Florida Amendment 4 were 6 million people, 57% of the vote. 4.5 million Floridians, 42.9% of the voters, voted against it. It failed because they did not reach the 60% threshold. There is work to be done to communicate the sanctity of human life. And as you've heard me explain before, this issue is not an issue in isolation. I know how the regressives market their position and their advocacy for baby murder. They talk about constitutional rights. They present it in a personal freedom context. But make no mistake about it, it is connected to sexual immorality by and large. By and large. There is work to be done. Similarly, in Florida, Amendment 3, the weed-smoking constitutional amendment, also failed. In Nebraska, the baby murder amendment failed there. Nebraska was a state where they had two measures. One measure, Initiative 434, in favor of the sanctity of human life. The other, Initiative 439, was the baby murder measure. In Nebraska, the baby murder measure failed. And the life protection measure passed. All right. South Dakota, another state, the attempts to enshrine baby murder in their state constitution failed in South Dakota. But in every other state, Arizona, Colorado, Maryland, Missouri, Montana. Now, I'm sure when you think about where would they be the most passionate about killing unborn children, I'm sure Montana comes to mind. No, it doesn't. Montana's vote in favor of amending their state constitution to allow the unfettered slaughter of unborn children, Montanans voted in favor of it with 57.2% of the vote. Nevada voted in favor of it. New York, not only did they vote in favor of it, but New York's ballot measure was worded in such a way where not only enshrined into the state constitution a right for baby murder, but it also included the protected class status for sexual orientation and gender identity and gender expression. And here's the thing. Guess what's coming next on these state ballot initiatives? They're going to be repeats of the New York Amendment all around the country presented. So what I'm saying is that there's work to be done. And I want you to understand, I'm not talking merely about the civic status of various states' state constitutions. I'm talking about the heart and the hearts and the minds of the American people. I'm talking about the hearts of the minds of people who have eternal souls, who the Word of God tells us that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is why I'm saying to you, what we've enjoyed yesterday is the mercy of God giving us grace and space to work. The question I was posed, do you think these people are going to change? They're going to change tactics? Now, if we were talking about sober, objective partisans, they would think, man, we need to moderate our positions. Clearly, you know, President Trump's ad about Kamala Harris is for, oh, I messed up, She Who Shall Never Be, the remix. Kamala Harris is for they, them. President Trump is for you. That was a powerful ad. You have her in her own words saying it. If we're talking about normal conversations and political partisan professionalism, they would moderate to try to be more effective. But we're not talking about mere partisan distinctions. We're talking about spiritual reality. We're talking about worldviews. This is what we're talking about. The modern iteration and application of, did God surely say? He made them both male and female. We say we can make them 156 different. You say marriage is exclusive, lifelong union of one man and one woman. We say we need to make room and have more grace towards minor attracted persons. You say God has made all mankind in his image. He says he's made all mankind in his image. In his image, he created them. All good and perfect gifts come down from above from the Father of lights. He gives resources to his people to fulfill his purposes. We say no such thing as private property. You will own nothing and like it. You need a 15-minute city. Guys, this is a divergence of worldview is what's happening. We have work to be done, which is why I'm urging us not to misinterpret the mercy of God. Recognize that it is mercy. Recognize that it is reprieve, and that it is a mercy grant, and it is reprieve granted for the purposes of allowing his people to respond to what he's calling us to. What happened in New York will be repeated in other states. It's coming, guys. It's coming. Our nation, we have murder merchants that spent $500 million to enshrine in state constitutions all around the country. And by the way, in ballot measures in state and local elections, we have all kinds of foreign money that poured into our nation for that. The pro-life cause only spent $37 million total across the country. An additional news item I'm sure many of you will be interested in, and I discussed this briefly this morning on today's issues before this announcement from the DOJ came out, but the Department of Justice has announced that Jack Smith's prosecutions of President Trump will end before he's inaugurated. So let me give you the news item first, and then I'll provide some commentary on that front, on that point. Clip number one. Go.
We have some news about Special Counsel Jack Smith, this man right here. Donald Trump said recently that he would fire Jack Smith, quote, within 2 seconds of taking office. Well, we found out that he may not have that opportunity. The reason is that the Department of Justice, where Jack Smith works, cannot prosecute a sitting president. Fox News is told that Jack Smith will be gone from his post as special counsel, meaning the cases will be gone before Trump takes the oath of office at noon on January 20th. This is the documents case, though that was dropped already by Judge Eileen Cannon back over the summer, and it's on appeal, but also this case for Trump's alleged efforts to try to overturn the 2020 election. So given the fact DOJ policy says you cannot prosecute a sitting president, expect Jack Smith cases to be done. The last case, and I'll end on this, is that Atlanta case that deals with the 2020 elections. That's a local Georgia case. We've seen over the last year how that has played out with Fani Willis, Nathan Wade. That has many problems, many different delays. So the bottom line for my story to all of you right now, Donald Trump's legal problems have essentially all gone away since he won last night. Harris.
Yeah, I think that was a little bit hyperbolic. They haven't all gone away. All the federal ones have gone away. But the DOJ tried to kick it as if they were being gratuitous and making a magnanimous gesture. Man, y'all ain't slick. You're not being gratuitous or making a magnanimous gesture, because y'all know good and well that the day Donald Trump steps foot in office, that all those cases have to go away anyway, because he'll be the head of the Department of Justice and he will appoint a new attorney general. Y'all know that. So keep it a buck. Stop trying to make it like, well, we're doing this grand gesture. Now, the Georgia case has all kinds of problems. I expect that one will go away as well. The additional one is no longer being litigated for guilt or innocence, but sentencing for President Trump is coming up in the Manhattan case with Alvin Bragg. Now, I've long said that I know Judge Mershon is crazy, but I've long said that there's a standard amongst criminal justice for which cases would warrant jail time and which ones doesn't. It would be insane for him to try to put him in jail. If the Democrat Party is interested in healing and unity and peace, well, what happened immediately is that the Biden administration will call upon the prosecutors in Georgia and in Manhattan to say, listen, guys, the American people have spoken. Enough with this nonsense. Enough with this nonsense. But we'll see what happens, because, again, it's easy to try to look at what's happening here as if it's only civic political controversy. It's not. It's not. We are witnessing a clash of worldviews. We are witnessing an existential civilizational divide. And what we saw yesterday with yesterday's election results is that the American people are not with the extreme regressive version of this civilizational divide. But it does not mean that this is evidence that there's a revival occurring spiritually in our nation in the way toward Christ. No. God has given us a reprieve, guys. He's given us grace and space to work. What is your vision for November 6th? I would urge one of the fundamental components must be praying without ceasing. Prayer will provide the proverbial air cover for our ground efforts. Prayer is an indispensable component of what must transpire from the bride of Christ in our nation. Secondarily, we have got to get out of our comfortable bubbles and engage with those around us. I had a brother stop me today and say, man, I went to Walmart this morning, had on my Make America Great Again hat on, and for the first time that I've worn it publicly, I had people of all different ethnic groups, all different backgrounds waving and saying hi to me. And that never happened before. Otherwise, I would be scared to wear it because I don't know what's going to happen. This is what I'm telling you is evidence of the reprieve. Now you have space. You can wear your hat and say hi to somebody. Not only that, why don't we share the gospel? When's the last time we shared the gospel with someone? And I want to add this in too before we end this program, that the people that I'm describing to you as regressives, they have souls. Loving our neighbor includes being willing to tell them uncomfortable truths, because we have a greater estimation for the eternity than the temporal comfort that they may or may not enjoy. God has granted mercy upon our nation. Let us understand and interpret rightly what has just transpired. Grace and space has been made available to us to be about our Father's business. The mercy of the Lord is abundant. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.